The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on Life Today, Sheila Wass provides a glimpse of what eternity is like in heaven.
If we lost 10 pounds, if we got that job, if we were married, if we had the house that we love, if all those things that we think would make us happy, there's something a little disappointing about everything.
Yes.
But all our disappointment will be gone in heaven. Absolutely gone. And I think that's why we get peace for right now and hope for tomorrow.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. I'm reading The Hope of Heaven with my co-host, Tammy Trent.
Good. You should read
it's
that.
It's really good. And there's a chapter. It's written by Sheila Walsh, I should tell you.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Right. We know Sheila. We love Sheila. And I have a question because each of these chapters answers very important questions. This may be the most important.
It's my favorite chapter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sheila, welcome back. By the way.
I bet I can guess what it is.
Yeah. My dog.
My cat. Will I be fat?
And will I be fat? Yes, that is.
Totally. Yes.
We laugh and I want to laugh. But there's some very serious things in here.
Yes.
Will I be fat? Or not as fat?
I think anybody will be fat.
No, but we do talk.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. We do talk about that a lot, like heavenly bodies and things that I hate about my body or my hair, my face. Can I have a new face?
I think we will be always what God's ideal for a man and a woman was. That's how we'll be. And I don't think it was that we would not be healthy. There'll be no more suffering, no more tears. And if there's no more questioning, there'll be no more thinking, do I look fat in this? Because, that would be self-doubt. Self-doubt is gone in heaven. All disappointment is gone in heaven.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Wow.
And, it's fun. I do think we see a little bit, through a glass dimly.
Of course.
And that's okay. It's still fun to talk about. But there's a very serious one. And you touched on it. Will heaven heal our disappointments?
Yeah.
And that is really important because a lot of people just feel like they go through life scarred and they want to know, will it ever get better?
Yeah. It was interesting. I read this on some social media thing and it made me laugh, but there was an element of truth in it. A woman was at home with her phone. She just got a new phone and somebody texted her and said, I'm here for you. And she wrote back and she said, thank you so much. I've been through such a hard, hard time. And by the way, this is a new phone. It hasn't updated all my contacts. Who is this? And he said, I'm your Uber driver. I'm here for you. But there's something intrinsically disappointing about everything. I mean, think about it. We think, if we just had, if we lost 10 pounds, if we got that job, if we were married, if we had the house that we love, if all those things that we think would make us happy, there's just, in fact, this drives my husband bonkers. If ever I get a new car, because he's so, when you have a new car, you have to park, 3 miles away from another vehicle. You need to pack lunch to get to where you're going.
Right.
So the last time I got a new car, I pulled out into the driveway and I said, Barry, come out here. And I got a little pebble and I threw it at the door.
Oh, no.
I dinged the door because I was like, let's just face it, it's going to happen.
Let's get it over with.
But you know what I mean? I mean, I think of our viewers right now and what they're maybe walking through, there's something a little disappointing about everything.
Yes.
But all our disappointment will be gone in heaven, absolutely gone. And I think that's why we get peace for right now and hope for tomorrow.
Oh, that's so good. When I think about Trent, my husband who went to heaven 23 years ago.
23 years ago.
Praise God for healing. But I have this question, and I think those of us who have lost someone this side of heaven, we always wonder, at least I do, when I see Trent, I don't know why I'm crying, but just the thought of seeing him again. Like when I see him, will I recognize him? Will he recognize me? That's my first question. And the other thought to that is that you say we'll be in our prime. So praise God, he's going to see me in my 30s again. But I wonder, will he recognize me? And what will we look like?
You will look like the best version of you you've ever looked, and so will he. And the incredible thing is, I think God allowed Adam and Eve to marry because there's something we're built for relationship. Now, we're really built for a relationship with God. So in heaven, there is no marriage. But will he
right.
know you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Will you know him?
Oh.
Absolutely. But because
yes.
Jesus is there, we don't need the intimacy of marriage anymore
yeah.
because it says there won't even be the sun and the moon. There'll be no need because Christ is
wow.
the light. And
wow.
so it's, you said yeah. something the other day, Randy, about the fact that there's a lot we don't know. And you're right, there is a lot we don't know. But when I think back to what God said was good in the beginning mm-hmm. when he created and that that's what it's supposed to look like, that, yeah, before Adam and Eve fell, Eve never had a moment of thinking, what does Adam think of? Do I look as good to him as the first day he met me? None of that. All of that is a result of the fall.
Yeah.
And when we're finally home, it will be what we've never experienced before, but what we've known inside
yeah.
that we were made for.
Yeah. I got into a long discussion with a theologian, because I like to do these sometimes.
I know
about,
you do.
I know, right? It can be very annoying, so bear with me. But, you know, the heavenly bodies, spiritual bodies, because the corrupt cannot inherit the perfect, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, look, you can't even grasp how great yeah. heaven is. How amazing it is to be in the presence of Jesus. It's really, I mean, so I accept that with humility that, yes, I can talk about it. We can go, okay, well, it tells us this, mm-hmm. and I think it means this, and we can stand on it, and that's great. But we have no idea. It's going to be really good.
Oh, I know. I'm a big fan of Victor Hugo. When I saw Les Mis for the first time in London,
the
whole theater cleared out, and I stayed there. I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. I cried. You know, it's like, there's a line in there about when you truly love someone, you see the face of God. So I read his biography, and Victor Hugo said, you know, when you hear that I have died, I've written books, I've done this, all these incredible things. And when I die, they say, I've gone. What they don't understand is I've just begun.
Yeah.
He had this right. understanding and this vision of the minute we step into the presence of Jesus, like musicians will write songs they've never written before. Artists will paint with colors they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You will sing notes you didn't even know existed. You will be sitting down with Abraham and discussing things and talking about things.
Wow.
I mean, it will be everything that we long for.
So here's the hard question. Will everybody be there?
No. The hardest chapter I had to write. In fact, honestly, I wrote that chapter in tears. And part of it was because of some of my family. I have some family in Scotland, some cousins who think, you know, they don't go to church. They aren't really interested in relationship with Jesus. But they think once you die, you're just up in heaven, up in the pub having a drink with God. You know, and that's the kind of thing. And I thought, the more I thought about them, the more I wanted to write that chapter, because Jesus makes it very, very clear. You know, when he's talking with the disciples in that last huge conversation in the upper room, and he tells them, I'm going to go away, but you know where I'm going. And Thomas is like, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I was having a discussion with one of the girls, my hair salon, about this. And she said, well, that's a very narrow gate. Mm. And I'm like, it's the widest narrow gate in the universe.
Yeah.
It says, whosoever believes in the Lord will be saved. But as for people who come up with, well, all religions lead to God and all religions, and if you've lived a good life, no, Scripture makes it very clear. The reason I get into heaven isn't because I've ever been on Christian television or ever written a book. It's because I have placed my trust in Jesus Christ. He has paid the price for my sin, and that's why I'll be there. And that's the only reason.
Yeah, and that's hard. I have officiated one funeral in my life, and she was a believer. Mm. And it gave me comfort, but I did have the thought, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I hope God's got something up his sleeve that I just don't know, you know, because I know God's a good God, and I know it's his desire that none will perish.
Yeah.
But you cannot read the Scripture and say anything but what you're saying.
I know. And that's hard. It's hard for people to hear.
It's hard for people to hear, but we have to proclaim it. But
yes,
I think we have to proclaim it in the way that you do, which is somewhat with a broken heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh, with tears rolling down our face. And the thing I love is, like, when I think of the man who was executed beside Christ, and I always think, like, we used to sing this hymn, On a Green Hill Far Away. It wasn't on a hill. They were crucified eye level, so all of those coming into Jerusalem, they could look these men in the eyes. Mm. And Martin Luther said that the one that was hung in the middle cross was always perceived to be the biggest criminal. Mm. So to anybody coming into Jerusalem that day, seeing these three men dying, Jesus is the worst. But the guy who's been crucified beside him, if there was ever an instance in human history of being in the right place at the right time, it would be for him, because he knows he's dying and he knows he deserves it. But he turns his head for a minute and realizes he's been crucified beside the one man in all of eternity that could save him. But he doesn't say, can you get me off this cross? He says, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, it wasn't, he didn't have time to join a Bible study. He didn't have time to tithe. Yes. He didn't have time to do anything. All he did was say, I believe. And that was it.
Didn't even have time to get baptized, which rankles a lot of people.
No.
But I think it goes back to your point. It wasn't the man's work that got him into heaven. It was the work of Christ.
Yeah.
It was the man's putting his trust in Christ.
We will never be judged by the last thing we do, but by the last thing Christ did. And the last thing Christ did was he paid for all our sins.
There you go.
That is so good. That is on a sticky note for me today. Putting it right on my mirror in the bathroom. So many sticky notes you have in this amazing book, The Hope of Heaven. You, again, one of my favorite storytellers, you write about Florence Chadwick attempting to swim, what was it, the Catalina Channel?
She'd swum the English Channel twice. Okay. I mean, she was one of those, you know, marathon swimmers. But she wanted to swim from Catalina Island, which is off the coast of California, to the mainland. And, you know, she practiced and practiced, and she's in the water on that day. She's been in the water for 14 hours, and it's freezing, but this fog fell. And her mom and her trainer are in a boat beside her, and she keeps saying, I don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it. I think I'm done. And they're like, come on, come on, keep going. The fog is so dense. And eventually she says, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm done. And they pull her into the boat. And she realizes she was half a mile from the shore. And she said to her trainer, if I could just have had a glimpse of the shore, I would have made it. Mm. And I think that's what helps us right now in the midst of what's not working. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who never forgot where he was going. Keep your eyes fixed on heaven. Jesus said, in fact, this book, sometimes, you know, you get endorsements for books, and they said, do you want us to get people to endorse you? And I'm like, I'm tired of pestering my friends to do that. So no, and they said, well, we usually like to put something on the front. So I said, I don't know if we're allowed to do this, but I would rather put what Jesus said.
Love it.
Because that's what matters to me. Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And that, to me, is the hope of heaven.
The best endorsement you could have ever gotten on this book. Oh, my goodness.
Where would you say, where does Sheila go to get a glimpse of heaven? Is it strictly in Scripture, or are there other maybe places where you see a little heaven?
It's interesting to me, Randy. I think that's a great question, because honestly, I think God is all around if we have our eyes open. I mean, one of my daily prayers is, Lord, give me eyes to see what I'm going to miss without you, and give me ears to hear. And it's something as simple as, I'm standing outside a coffee shop, I just got my coffee, and I'm about to think, do I have time to go to the grocery store, or do I need to go right home? And I see this woman kind of sitting on the sidewalk, and I feel the Holy Spirit say, "She, you know, sit down." So I said to her, do you mind if I join you? She's like, no. So I sit down beside her on the curb and discover she just got this diagnosis that she has breast cancer and she's very on her own. And it's like, it's just, this Holy Spirit is so good, because it was just this gentle nudging of she could really. And so just to be able to pray with her and let her know that God's got her, that the Holy Spirit, when I was brought up Baptist, so we loved Jesus, we loved God, and we weren't quite sure what the Holy Spirit did, but we were grateful for him. Yeah. We knew he mattered. Then I joined a charismatic church, and we were all into the Holy Spirit, and the other two were there as well. At this point in my life, I love that God's my Father. I love that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and I love the Holy Spirit as my Comforter. Yes. Think about the fact that right now, people who are, if you're so tired, you can't pray for yourself. Romans 8, 26 and 27 say the Holy Spirit's praying for you. Think about that. I mean, the kingdom of heaven on earth is in us.
We talked about rewards. And I think about that and like the perspective of heaven, like how the promise of heaven, like heavenly rewards could change my thinking, because I think of rewards this side of heaven and I'm like, well, I'm not that impressed. What if I thought about it from a heavenly perspective?
Oh, yeah. Because don't you think when we, because every one of us will stand before Jesus and he will reveal to us what our life looked like. There's no judgment. I mean, Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but there will be a revelation of how we've lived our life. Okay. And it says that some of us, everything will just burn up as if it was just hay and stubble and be nothing left. Do we get into heaven? Absolutely, because we're judged by what Jesus did. But for others, I think of somebody at home right now, and they can't even get out anymore. Mm. They sit in their chair and they pray and they intercede and they worship. When that person stands before Jesus, what's going to be left at their feet are jewels, crowns. And what will we do with our crowns? We'll cast them at Jesus' feet. Don't you think it'd be lovely to have something to give back to him for everything he's done?
So interesting thing about that, I always heard that passage preached as kind of a threat.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Right? Because it says, and there will be loss. That's in there. There will be loss. Yeah. Like, so the stuff that's burned out and there will be loss. I'm not sure. And again, this is a little speculation, but I think maybe it's a little bit of a promise. Okay. So my failure, my missing the mark, my doubt, my questions, my favorite prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Will be burned up.
Yeah.
Remembered no more. You're not going to see a long, boring movie of all the mistakes I've made in my life, right? So now, when I lay up treasures in heaven, it takes on a new meaning.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about my mistakes.
No.
I don't have to worry about my failures. Those will be gone by the grace of God.
Yeah. Yes.
Burned up like fire. There will be loss.
Yeah.
But now I can pursue the heaven on earth, knowing that it has eternal value.
Right? I think many have to change their perspective on that, their thinking, don't you? Because just what you're saying is so many have even heard, well, you're going to be judged for that.
Right.
You're going to be judged for that.
Right.
And so all you don't think of, I'm not going to have great rewards waiting for me. I'm going to have awful judgment waiting for me. So why would I want to go to heaven?
No.
I don't even want to think about heaven. Don't you think a lot of
people... judgment.
Right.
Zero judgment. As you say, Randy, that's a great way of looking at it. I've never thought of it that way. All burned up, all gone, removed as far as the east is from
the
west.
The grace of God right
no
there.
More, the grace of God. All will be left is all the things that you did that you thought nobody noticed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, all the things that you did and nobody said, well done.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The way you show up every Sunday and you volunteer for the kids, the way you take care of your neighbor, all the stuff that nobody claps for, heaven has missed nothing. Mm-hmm. And when we're finally home, that'll all be revealed.
And you know what? That gives you hope.
Yes. Peace for today and hope for forever.
In writing this book, what made the biggest impact in your life that changed everything forever?
Honestly, Tammy, it was almost like I had been looking out of a window that was just, it's as if the window had been replaced with glass. I felt like I was looking at everything that wasn't right, everything I wasn't doing right, everything that could be better. And after I studied heaven, it was like the mirror was gone and all that was there was glass of looking forward and seeing, no, this is all, it's all about Jesus. It's all about everything he did. And I just... That's why I love this program, and I love what you do, and I love the way that you care for other people, because all that stuff matters. You know, your well project and the water project, all of that stuff. Think of the people who are going to be there, who are just, you reached me, first of all, with a cup of clean water, and I wanted to know why you gave it to me, and then I found out it was because of Jesus. All that stuff matters in heaven.
So you've been over many places. Mm-hmm. You've been in some places that I would call, you know, hell on earth,
absolutely.
Metaphorically, right?
Absolutely.
So you've seen the rough, but you've also seen what happens when we go in. And doesn't it feel, have you been there when, like, the water came out for the first time?
Yes.
All right, in the dancing.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it feel like there's a little taste of heaven right there?
Absolutely. I'll never forget seeing that and this little boy taking his cup that looked like he dug it out of the ground and putting it in the water and giving it to me to drink.
Yeah.
It was just
funny.
It was just amazing thinking, now this is what it looks like to be Jesus on this earth.
Oh, yes. Okay. I love that. I love that. I want you to see that. Ooh. You have an opportunity to be Jesus on this earth. And I got to tell you, all of you that over the years have supported the many water wells that we have drilled through the Water for Life Outreach, you have laid up treasures in heaven.
Yes, you have. Yes,
and you can see that the reflection of heaven on the faces of those people that are blessed. Because when we do something, it's not just a good work. We go in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a God work. So here's one. Here's an opportunity. And I hope you'll pause and just say, Lord, would you have me be a part? And I think yes should always be the answer, but you pray and say how much. But take a look at this and you'll see how you can be heaven in someone's life today. And when you do, request Sheila Walsh's The Hope of Heaven. We'd love to put it in your hands. Watch this.
We've spent time in this village here today, and we've spoken to various different mothers. We've been understanding their story, the challenge, the plight that they face, the suffering that this village is going through because of a lack of clean water. Not a lack of water, there's a lot of water as you can see behind me, but there's no clean water in this village. They don't have a well here. This is their only source of water that they come and collect water. It's dirty, it's disease-filled, contaminated water that they have to carry back to their families. Mothers who have two options. One option is that they could not give their children water at all. They know the outcome of that. It's pretty rapid and it steals their children's lives. The other option is to give their children this dirty, contaminated water, and so that's the option they go for. And yet they've told us how they've lost children. We spoke to a grandmother, heartbroken, as she explained that she was the caregiver of the child. The child lost its life because of this waterborne disease. You could tell that she just felt so bad, so broken for what she had done in her mind. But the truth is she could do nothing else because she had no option. She told us, as many others have, that they know what the solution is. The solution is a water well in their village because that will give them fresh, clean water and save those lives. We know the need. The one missing component is you. I'm asking you to help us to bring Mission Water for Life, to drill a well and provide fresh, life-giving water to the people who are suffering so desperately. Please do it before another child's life is stolen. This is a crisis. It's an emergency. And if we don't meet their needs now, we are going to lose more children. Please give the gift of water. Give the gift of life before it's too late.
You have seen a need. Will you respond? I believe as followers of Christ, it is not just our duty to respond. When something's within our power to do good, we do it. I believe that it is an honor to be able to go into those villages and say, we come in the name of Jesus Christ and we give you life in the form of clean drinking water. What more beautiful expression of heaven, as we've been talking about, is there than to give life to people who they don't know us? You know, we don't owe them anything. Why do we go? We go because we have been given the water of life eternally, which is Jesus Christ. And out of that, we want to share life with others. Tammy, it's hard to go these places, to hear these stories, to see the graves, mm-hmm. the death, mm-hmm. but we have to go.
Yes, we do. We're called. At least, you know, I have felt that calling on my life for a really long time, mm-hmm. To not just feel sad, but to take action and to try to help where I can. And when you go into these villages and you see these little tiny graves, knowing that little babies are dying, children are dying because of the lack of clean water. When you're there, it's honestly something really hard to wrap your heart around because you think, I've never struggled for water. I've never struggled for the need for clean water. But these people are suffering every single day and they don't have an option. They don't have an option. This is all that they have. They will walk for miles and miles and miles until they get to this, usually a mud hole. And they know that is killing them. They don't have any option. Just as Randy said, the greatest part of this story to me and why I feel called and why I want to be a part of it is that I know that we can go in and make a difference. I know that we can change this for them. There is a way. We can bring them hope. We can bring them life. We can relieve the stress, the pain that they feel, the suffering that they feel, and give them a better way just by giving them a cup, many cups of clean water. And we can do it today. Let's not wait. Let's not hesitate. These people are waiting to live and to choose life. So let's do it together right now. Our goal is 350 wells in 20 nations. And what that looks like so that anybody can get involved is for $48, you can provide water for 10 people.
for 144, you can provide water for 30 people. And if you are in a position where you can actually help us drill an entire well for an entire village for the rest of their lives, you know what that looks like? Just $4,800. Now, I know that's a lot, but in some ways, when I think about it and what it will bring to these people and these villages, Randy, $4,800 is not that much to bring them life.
You can't put a price tag on life, and you can't put a price tag on the gospel that we share with them in word and deed. So just pause, say, Lord, what would you have me do? We'd love to send you Sheila's book with any gift today, but more importantly, we'd love for you to be a part of this beautiful expression and urgently needed outreach, Water for Life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly can give. You must know it will make an eternal difference in the lives of so many people. And when you do, we want to send you Sheila's new book, The Hope of Heaven. It will be daily hope for you that you'll need every single day of your life. It will set a fire. It will, I don't know, it'll teach you a lot of new things about heaven, just like it did me. So we want to make sure to get this book to you right away. Sheila, I love you. You have taught me time and time again to rise and rise again.
I love that. I love that. And thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that this book will answer the questions that are really burning in people's minds.
Yes. That's what I meant to say. And you said it perfectly. Thank you for being here. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
After losing her sister at an early age and recently losing her father, Ann Voskamp clung to Jesus by adding up her gifts and gratitudes.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.